been in the Word, like, just a ton, just teaching Thursday nights and teaching Sundays and for the men's study and working on another lesson, taking someone else through the Bible, taking the boys through the Old Testament. And Colossians has been really speaking to me, and the devotional that I send out on Ephesians is really speaking and just reaching those passages where I'm discovering there's an urgency. If you're following along in Colossians chapter 1, today we're going to be in 23 to 29. I'm going to finish off this chapter. I always try to put a title to my message, and I heard today I should call it, "It's Time to Stand." I don't know if you're sensing what I'm sensing, but I do have people I talk to regularly, and I really sense that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to rise up and stand firm, and stand in the power of God. And I want to demonstrate that from the Scriptures this afternoon. We have been going through Colossians, and Paul has been talking about the Colossian church, and he's praising God for them because of their growth in the gospel and the word of truth. And then he goes through and describes Christ, his incomparable greatness and majesty and God character, that he is God, that God, he was sent into the earth to save sinners and redeem us and set us free and reconcile us. And we looked at all that in the last 4 weeks we've been in this. And then we get to these verses 23, and Paul is like really personal. And he starts describing what it means to act upon what he has just taught about Christ, about his word, about who he is and his mission. So he always does that in his letters. He teaches doctrine, and then he gives us application. So in 23, which we looked at last week, just going to start there. "If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven." And so there's a real call to stand firm, steadfast, established, not being moved in the hope of the gospel. It is the hope of the world. There's no other message the world needs to hear. Okay, that's the only message that will set us free. Maybe not in this life, but in the life to come. And he says at the end of 23, which is what I want to start with, "I, Paul, was made a minister." And if you go down to 25, he says, "Of this church, I was made a minister." I was made a minister. And I have a whole whack of scriptures where he goes through his life saying, "I was made, I was chosen." I'd just like to look at a couple of those. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3, which is two books back. Paul is a servant, not by choice, but made by God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, he says this. "That the Gentiles are fellow heirs," in verse 6, "of fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ." Okay, nobody chooses to be a follower of Jesus. Jesus chooses you. Nobody says, "I think I want to be a pastor one day." God chooses you to be a pastor. God chooses you to be a minister. If you are saved, then you are a minister. That is what's required of you. You are placed in the body of Christ, and there is an endowment, a power from on high that comes from Holy Spirit and equips you to do the work that God wants you to do, that he actually, according to Ephesians 2:10, prepared since the foundation of the world to do, for you to do. And so nobody comes and says, "I think I want to be this, I want to be that." No, God calls you. And Paul says twice in this passage in Colossians, I was made a minister. I didn't choose it. Christ arrested me. And if you read, let's go to Acts 26 real quickly, because three times in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 9, we see his salvation. Then three more times, Paul explains his conversion. And in this particular passage in Acts 26, is before the King Agrippa. And he says this in verse 16. Arise and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness. And Jesus is talking. He's relaying what Jesus said to him personally. I have appeared to you to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the Jewish people, from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. And that is the whole gospel right there. That's the gospel we've been looking at in Colossians. It's the gospel we've been looking at in Ephesians. And that is the gospel to which Paul is called, and that is the gospel to which we are called. If you put your faith in Christ, that is your mission. God chose you and appointed you, put His Spirit in you, the power of God in you, to do what He asks you to do. And friends, the urgency is, it's time to stand up and be who you were meant to be. It's time for you to be a minister of Christ. It's time to put all the other stuff aside, all the diversions and the things we do in life that are meaningless, and really focus in and say, God, if you don't know your gift, you need to ask Him. If you don't know why you were saved, you need to ask Him. But ask me, I'll tell you why. There's some great scriptures that tell you why you're saved. Here's the number one thing, to declare Him. That's why you're saved. And it's time to declare Him. Because the world is going to hell. It's going to hell fast. There was a whole movement across Canada to pray for a new prime minister. Guess what? We didn't get it. We didn't get him. We got exactly what we deserve. Okay? The prime minister that we want. Yeah. The one who's going to do what we want and pass the laws that we want.
Yeah.
Okay? That's who we got, and that's who we deserve. But the Church of Jesus Christ has been really silent. They haven't been standing up and saying, what about us? What about what God wants?
Yeah.
I'm going to try to stay calm. It's going to be a little tough. But I just read these texts over and over, and I say, well, God, you have done incredible things. And if we go back to Colossians, you just put yourself in that passage. You have been called. You have been chosen a minister of God. If you continue. And the moment you say yes to Jesus, I want to serve you, guess what? Things are going to happen in your life. Not good things. You're going to start to experience persecution and difficult things. And if you're married to an unbeliever, guess what? Things are going to be really tough for you, because that old man that used to live with your spouse is now gone. It's a new man. It's a new woman. And they're going to say, what happened to you? I don't like this new you. You don't do what we used to do. You don't talk the same. You don't want to do the same things. That's right, because I'm a new creation in Christ. I don't live like that anymore. And that's going to cause friction and chaos in almost every relationship. If you go to work and you're vocal at work and you open your mouth to share Jesus once in a while, guess what? It's going to cause friction. If you go in your family, your extended family, and you go to reunions or weddings or whatever it is, and you share Christ, you're going to cause problems. If you're not experiencing persecution and problems in your life, then you're not opening your mouth and talking about Jesus. It's that simple. Everybody who talks about Jesus will experience persecution. They will offend people. The gospel is offensive. You know why? Because there's only one Savior. There's not many ways to get to Jesus. There's only one. Jesus is it. He's the only way. Okay? The only way to get to God is through Christ. And so, Paul says this, I rejoice in my suffering for your sake. This is the attitude of Paul. I've been called by God for what purpose?
Your sake.
Yes, the church. The church. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. In my flesh I do my share on behalf of His body, which is the church. Okay? He has been called to the church, to preach to the church, to teach the church, and admonish the church. We're going to see in a minute. And so have we. You know that gift that God gave you? Everyone gets a gift. We're learning this on Thursday nights. It's not what you had before you came to Christ. It's a special endowment of power that comes to you when you come to Christ. You don't come to Christ with your gifts. No, anybody can do that. You don't have to be a Christian to just serve with the natural gifts and talents you have. You come to Christ, surrender your life to Him, and then He gives you a special power, a special anointing, a special gift that will benefit the body of Christ. And if you're not serving in the body of Christ, you're not using your gift, the body is lacking.
Amen.
Okay? And so let me say this, because I'm on a rant here. The church is not Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. That's not what church is about. And so ask yourself, is my Christianity only about Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon in this case? Do I live Christ 7 days a week, 24/7? And I want you to think about that. You can't turn it off after you leave this building and then turn it back on when you're here the next time you meet. You can't do that. That's not following Jesus. That's following you. Okay? I could go through a whole whack of people and give you examples where they're shining Christ in their workplaces. And they're talking about Jesus, and they're praying with people and discipling people on the side. And, you know, they make it a purpose to seek God. How would you have me serve you, Jesus? I live for you. How would you have me reach the lost? How would you have me make a disciple over here in my workplace? How would you have me minister your love and compassion to someone? That's the heart of a true follower of Jesus Christ. And what is so urgent about that? It's time for the church to rise up and be the church. Because listen to all the voices they're listening to. They're being led down a road to slaughter. And where's the church? We're not hearing His voice. My voice is about to cut out, but that's okay. I'm going to give me the grace to get through this. So Paul was made by God, and he's totally committed to fulfilling the purpose for which he was saved and for which he was made a minister. And he's willing to pay the cost no matter what it is. And I know some of you are wrestling right now, because God has a call on your life. He has a call on your life. And you're saying, am I able to do that? Well, I got good news for you. It's in verse 29, which we'll get to. Verse 25, of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship, the administration, the outworking of God in my life. He's the one who gave me this. It was from God. It was given to me for your benefit. He says it twice in this text. That I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That's what he says. That's what my translation says. In the New Living, it says, God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his message in all its fullness to you. Okay, that's Paul's ministry. Is that everybody's ministry? Well, it is, in a sense. You're the only one who has the ability to interact with God and to hear his voice and to receive his word and to understand his word, because the Spirit of God lives in you, and you're the only one in your circle who can take that word into your environment, into your circle of friends and workplace. Okay, you're it. I'm sorry to say that, but that's why you're saved. You're saved to go into your circle of influence and change that environment, to tell people about Jesus Christ, to tell them what the Word of God says. And we're going to get into that a little bit. It's really cool. He doesn't even leave out what we should say. He actually says it. But the key is the word. And friends, if you look in my translations, to fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. And he's not talking about himself. He's talking about that's the mission of the church, to preach the word of God. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach, declare, and proclaim. And so you can't preach what you don't know. If you're not in the Word, if you're not able to articulate what the gospel is, you have nothing to share. We should, as Christians, have the responsibility of learning what the gospel is. And I tell you many times up here, it's not Jesus has a wonderful plan for your life. I can attest, you know, firsthand that is not true when you give your life to Christ. It really, let me just say it bluntly, the moment you give your life to Christ, all hell breaks loose. Right, Aaron? The moment you take a stand, guess what? You're going to have opposition. You're going to be persecuted. And I have a whole bunch of scriptures here, which I don't have time to go through. But I'll give it right from the words of Jesus himself in Matthew 11 and 12. 5, 11 and 12. Matthew 5, 11 and 12. This is what he says. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The moment you say, I'm a representative, I have been reconciled to Christ and I am his ambassador, we saw last time in 2 Corinthians 5, that's when you will start suffering persecution. That's when people will hate you. When you start telling them Jesus is the only way, he's the only way, there's no other name under heaven given to men by which they must be saved. Only that name. Okay? And Paul is saying, I will suffer for the church. I will do whatever it takes to see the church of Jesus Christ be the church of Jesus Christ, to achieve its final goal of being the bride, spotless and blameless, without blemish. So that's his resolve. And I'm saying, friends, this afternoon, it needs to be our resolve to get through these times. We need to stand and say, it is time for me individually to walk in the power of Holy Spirit with the calling God has on my life and do what God has called me to do. Are you with me? Hopefully you can say amen to that. He's willing to suffer. Number one, suffer for the sake of others, Christ's body. And secondly, he's willing to suffer for Christ himself. You know, there's an interesting, this language here is really interesting. In verse 24, he says, I rejoice in my suffering for your sake and in my flesh. I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. You know, Jesus Christ is still suffering. Every time you suffer, he suffers. Okay, the work of redemption is already done. He's not suffering on the cross anymore. But Jesus met Paul on the road. And Jesus said to him, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? You're going around, you're killing other Christians, you're arresting them. But you're not persecuting them, you're persecuting me. Okay? I'm the one being afflicted because that's my body. I want you to think about that. Are you willing to suffer for Christ? It's going to cost you. Let's keep going here, verse 26. He says, I fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is, here's what the word of God is. The mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. This thing in the Old Testament was hidden from the creation of the world. This mystery was hidden. Okay, we don't understand it. Before Christ, we don't understand it. Even the Jews didn't comprehend it. Really, not even in the Old Testament. And what is the mystery, he says? This thing that is hidden but is now revealed in Christ, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the message of the gospel, that God himself wants to indwell you. Okay, if you don't know what the gospel is, and you want to share it with someone, you say this. I can't get more practical than this. And I'm going to start doing it myself, because I always start at the beginning with, you're a sinner, and we need Jesus, and we died for you. But I'm going to try this. God wants to dwell inside you. His destination is not a cross. His destination is not heaven. His destination is your heart. You will be, if you give your life to Christ, if you surrender and turn from your sin and receive the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be his witnesses. He will be inside you. He will take residence up in your being and you will be his temple. You will be the temple of God to this world. And everywhere you go, you will carry God with you. You will carry Christ. And if you read and put all the pieces of the New Testament together, you'll see Jesus is in you, God is in you, and Holy Spirit is in you. The Godhead wants to take residence up inside you so that when you go into planet Earth as an ambassador for Christ, they see Jesus. You think like him. Before you open your mouth, you say, Jesus, what do you want me to say? Before you open your mouth, you say, Jesus, I want to think exactly the way you're thinking on this issue. See, it's just a communion that happens naturally, and the more you do it, the better you get at it. It's like having this voice inside you. It's always telling you what to say and how to say it in love, right at that moment. That's what Jesus wants of his people. He wants people to know that the gospel is Christ in you. You can't get to heaven. You can't get the glory. We have glory now because Jesus is glory and he's inside us. But the glory that's waiting for us is surpassing glory. We can't even fathom what's waiting for us. And that's what's waiting for us because we have Christ in us. The seal of our inheritance is inside us. His name is Holy Spirit. And everybody should have the opportunity to hear that truth. But how are they going to hear it? When most Christians can't even say what the truth of the gospel is. And Paul says it very plainly. Here's the gospel, guys. Here's the word of God you should know. That even, he's telling Jews as well, but it's really that the Gentiles, which is all of us who aren't Jews, that Jesus Christ wants to live inside. There's only one way he can do that. Holy God to live inside you. That's to make you holy. That's take away your sin and come and reside in you. Okay, that's the gospel in a nutshell. And verse 28, we proclaim him. Now, I want you to see this, okay? Lord, help us. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom that we may present every man complete in Christ. Does he say only Christians, only Jews, only Gentiles? He says every man. Paul's mission was to every single person on planet Earth. And we need to look at these words. Admonish. Some of you have counseling. It's not counseling. It's not sitting down and having someone validate your feelings. That's not what counseling is in this word. Okay? That's exactly what it means. Warning. So when you preach, when you proclaim, and the word is proclaim, okay? That means you have to open your mouth. You don't do it with your actions. You open your mouth. There's only one way to proclaim. You got to loose those lips and let something come out. It has to be truth. Admonishing. Warning. Every person. Here's the warning. Very simple. Without Christ, you're dead and you're on your way to hell. Okay, that's the warning. Friends, if you want to see what it looks like, read the prophets. Okay? There was always an announcement of where they were at as sinners, why they were experiencing the consequences of their actions because they had left God, they turned, they worshiped idols and all that stuff. And then there was a promise of hope. Every prophet sets up a message like that. So we admonish, we warn every man. If you don't turn to Christ, guess what? It's bad news. And teaching every man. And if you want to come to Christ, and if you want to put your faith in him, and allow him to cleanse you and renew you and make you new, this is what you do. See, now you're teaching. Warn and teach. How do you share the gospel of Jesus Christ? You warn and teach. You don't say God has a wonderful plan for your life. That's teaching. You haven't warned them. Well, I'm already living a wonderful plan. I do what I want. I have a nice car. I have a nice house. I get drunk when I want. I go do whatever I want. Why would God want to give me anything else? I have everything I want. That's not a gospel. That's a lie. What you say is if you keep going the way you're going, you're going to end up in hell. Eternity without God. And some will say, well, I don't care. Hell's going to be a party anyway. So I've had that happen. But you know what? That's a lie. Now you have an opportunity to teach. You've warned. Guess what? Your lifestyle will lead you right down a path to destruction. But here's the option. Jesus Christ is life. He has life for you. If you choose him, your whole life will change. He'll change you on the inside. He'll give you a new reason for living. And he'll change your attitude and the things you do. And you cannot be complete. And what does complete mean? Mature. You cannot be mature. Does this apply to every man? Every man unsaved, every woman unsaved, every man in the church, every woman in the church. Okay? It's everyone. In the church, and we need to do this, and I'm teaching a course on church, and this is going to come up if it hasn't already. As a church, we need to warn people. We need to warn them when they're walking away from God, when they're walking into sin. You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility because you are accountable to the body of Christ to warn a sinning brother or sister in the Lord. You have that responsibility. You warn and you teach. You warn and you teach. That's how you go about your life as a follower of Jesus. You warn people and you teach people, whether outside the church or in the church. Do you know what? This is why it's so important right now for the church to be the church. We need to be warning out there. This could be the end. I don't know if it is, but this could be the end. Right? We never know, friends. One morning we're going to wake up and we're going to realize this is the end. We're either going to be raptured or it's going to be all hell break loose on planet Earth. Okay? And let me tell you right now, when the government is telling you, you can't do this, you can't do that unless you have this, that, and the other thing, and you can't meet, and you got to wear this, and you got to wear that, to me, that's hell. Okay? I'm free in Christ. I don't need to subject myself to man's laws, especially these crazy things that are built out of fear. Okay, we need to be really wise right now. And we need to not get into the fear of the world. If you're watching the news, stop watching the news. That's where fear comes from. We need to be about the Lord's business. And we need to be warning people about the truth. Okay? Satan is a liar. He's a deceiver. And there's something going on out there that I'm not going to tell you what it is because I don't want to get into all this stuff. But you need to sit on your face before the Lord and say, Lord, what is really going on right now? Because there's something going on. There's an agenda. It's the enemy's agenda. It's the prince of the power of the air. Satan, the god of this world. And we need to rise up and we need to open our eyes and we need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. And it's time for us to hear what God is saying and go and admonish and teach people. Okay? And I'm not talking just about COVID. I'm talking on every level, like the economic system. Okay? About the health system. About the agenda of the governments. Friends, there is a world, one world government forming under our eyes, and 99% of people are oblivious. And I'm not talking in the world, I'm talking in the church. Okay? All you have to do is do a little bit of research, and you will see things are starting to line up. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but listen, it's in the Bible, it's going to happen, and we seem to think that it won't happen on our watch. Well, it'll happen the next generation. They're not going to have to wait on all these signs to see. No, we don't. Okay? The world is being handed over to Satan, and the body of Christ is silent. So, we proclaim Him. We proclaim the Word of God. We proclaim the Gospel, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we do it with all wisdom. That comes from God Himself. Holy Spirit is the giver of wisdom. Okay? Friends, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be in communion with the Holy Spirit right now for such a time as this. Okay? Are you with me? You, as a follower of Jesus, me as a follower of Jesus, we need to be on our face before the Lord. And I'm going to say every single day. You know, I don't know how people go into the workforce, into that chaos and craziness, and don't get prepared for that environment without going before the Lord first. It is crazy out there. You walk into an environment of fear and confusion, and it's so strong, you get under it, and it suppresses you, and you can't function under it unless you're built up in your faith while sitting in the presence of God. That is our calling as followers of Jesus, to sit with Jesus and say, Lord, how now shall I live, and what shall I say to these people? And I encourage you to do that so that you might have an opportunity. We need to let people know that, you know what, we're not afraid of this. We're not afraid of this. We have a God who holds us, who protects us, who's going to get us to the end. That's what He promises. And then He says this. I'm way off in the notes. I don't even know where I am. But verse 29. Paul says this, for this purpose I labor. I labor. The word is wearisome, toil. I'm exerting all of my strength. All of my strength. I'm working so hard to warn you and teach you and make you disciples of Christ. And he says, I labor, striving. And the word there is literally agonizing. I'm in agony over you guys. I'm striving to show you what the truth is and where we're at and reveal the Word of God to you. But it's not me. It's the power which mightily works within me. Verse 29. You see that? We're right back to where we started. I was made. It's not me. God made me. And I'm not doing this out of my own flesh. I'm doing it because He's in me. His power is in me and He's calling me to strive and to agonize and to diligently pursue the mission of leading people to Christ and getting them to the finish line. And you cannot read Paul without seeing his heart, for that is what he is all about. He loves the church, he's devoted to the church, and he's gung-ho about getting the church spotless and clean so Christ can take her back. And I want to tell you, that's our mission as well. That's why you're saved. That's why you're empowered. That's why Christ is in you. And so I believe it's time for the church to stand up. It's time to sit on your face before God and ask Him, what is my calling? What have you given me that I need to share, first and foremost with the body of Christ, and secondly with the world? Just go to chapter 3 real quickly. Lest you think that this is only about Paul. This really, Paul's just talking about himself. He's not talking about every Christian living like that. Because I know some of you think that. Let me just take you to verse 16 of chapter 3, which is addressed to everyone in the church. Well, let's start at 15, because it's too good to miss. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Woo, glory. Have you got the peace of Christ living in your heart? Or have you got the anxiety of the world living in your heart? There's one way to solve that. Stop focusing on the world. Focus on Jesus. And here's the solution to getting the peace of Christ. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. How much time are you spending in the Word of God? How much time are you spending teaching someone else the Word of God? Called to make disciples. How much time are you spending together in fellowship? Studying the Word. When our house churches, it should be about the Word, friends. You know, we've been in the world all week, and some of us are so crazy, lives with kids and work, that we don't have time to spend time in the Word. Only you can change that. But group, when we meet once a week in our groups, that should be the time to get in the Word of God together. Okay? Just encouraging that. Watch what he says. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing. The same two things that he lives his life by, he's now telling the saints at Colossae to do. And through the Holy Spirit, he's telling us to do. This should be our lifestyle. Teaching and admonishing, warning one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Woo, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? The church did that. You know, if you read the psalms and the hymns of the Old Testament and the spiritual song, you will see that it's all warning and praise. It's warning and praise. Go read the great psalms and hymns of the Old Testament. You know, there's one right after the Egyptians in Exodus 15 where they come out of Egypt. And they're free in the promised land. And they break out into song. And they sing these amazing songs about how God took them through and opened the waters and destroyed the enemy. That's a warning. Anyone who doesn't follow God is going to be destroyed like that. But we're not. God had rescued us. And we have a reason to praise and sing. It's all through the Old Testament. It's even in the New Testament, if you look for it. You know, they actually break out and they sing. They're arrested. I have a whole bunch of scriptures here. But in one case, it says they counted it all joy because they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. Okay? You see what I'm saying? Following Jesus is not going to be easy. If you're going to open your mouth, it's going to be hard. And that's exactly what he wants you to do. It's in the hard times that you will experience the grace of God and the power of God to do what he called you to do. It's in that hard time that when you get through it on the other side, you'll be able to sing and shout and praise God. You know, I think of Mary. She tells me, I said, Mary, how's it going? I call her. And, oh, I was down at the park witnessing. 88 years old, goes down to the park and still tells people about Jesus. Does she get accepted and the people say, oh, I'm so glad you told me about that? No, there's lots of rejection. There's lots of hard times. but she faithfully goes out. And I know many of you do too. Many of you are out there ministering and talking to people and pointing them to the Lord, and that's what we've got to do. But you can't give away what you don't have. Okay? You got to spend time with Jesus. You got to spend time with His Word. And you got to see that your mission here on earth is to tell people about Him. I'm going to stop. Any comments?
Let me just say, many of Paul's prayers reflect his heart for every man to be made mature and holy and blameless before Christ. He often says in his prayer, till Christ returns. Like, I just want to read two. So 1 Thessalonians 3:11-13 says, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." And then he prays again in 1 Thessalonians 5 at the very end, 23 and 24. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He also will do it." And it's just a part of Paul, like his prayers. It should be our prayers.
Yes, indeed. Any other comments? You know, I really feel this morning, I was up early praying, and I could sense there's stuff on your hearts. And there's two things. Some of you are afraid. Some of you have been forced to do what you don't want to do. But some of you have a real passion inside you to go out and declare the truth. And I want to tell you this morning that whatever it is that's holding you back, whatever it is you feel you think you need, God will supply it. His power will get done what he has called you to do. There's only one way to find out how that power comes and what he is, what it is he wants you to say, and that's to spend time in his presence. And so if you will commit to that this week, you're going to take your Christianity up to a new level. He's calling people for such a time as this. You know, I got all these people who are doing things, going through my brain. I think of Heidi and Bruno. You know, there's a friend of theirs that's struggling. He's got cancer. And they're ministering to him. And they're taking him through the Bible, and he's excited about the Bible. And they're teaching him. And he's going and he's telling his whole family about Jesus. Friends, it's just setting aside time to listen to God and to spend time with people. And if he calls you to the crazy things like getting up on a podium and shouting and declaring, proclaiming, whatever it is, he'll give you the grace to do that. I'm going to sing two songs, kind of focus on the future, but I like this one. It says, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, life is worth the living just because he lives."
Amen?
Let's stand and sing.